Good morning. This is Sunday Dhamma Talk on Radio Thailand. My name is Pra Paibun Abhipunno from Forest Monastery, Wat Pa Don Hai Sok in Udon Thani. We'll meet you every week to talk about this phenomena, the phenomena of your own mind, the phenomena that once you understand and once you know how does it, this phenomena works, you will be able to be more happy, less suffering. And to understand this phenomena is beginning from your own mind, the one that you aware or cognize the sound. The mind is the same mind that you aware and cognize the taste that you touch by your tongue. This mind, sometimes, before you understand your own mind, let's look at the nature of the mind first. Whether your own mind, my mind, other people's minds, and the Buddha's mind have a similar nature. It's just like a monkey sometimes. If you seen a monkey when it roaming around in the forest, or when it travel into the forest, this monkey, if you have not seen one, you probably seen from the documentary how is the monkeys live in the forest. The nature of the monkey is when they roam around through a forest, they will grab hold of one branch, let go and grab another, you know, swing themselves and to another branch, let go the previous one and grab hold of another branch. Go on and on. This is how they travel, jump here and there. It's similar to our own mind, your mind, my mind, other people's mind. When you sometimes think of this thing, your mind cognizes into these things that you are thinking about. And then suddenly there's another thing happen. Maybe it's a sound coming through your ear. The mind cognizes. And then sometimes you feel the sensation or the touches that coming from your touch, the skin. And then you mind cognize. Then the other one is become fading away. Now the cognition part of the mind that you cognize earlier become fading away and disappear. And then the mind cognize into other thing. It's become a discrete kind of phenomena. When the mind jump here and there, and is sometimes people call the wandering or restlessness, begin to think of this, that, and those, and also think of the past and the future, and sometimes have a feeling, a sensation all around, because that is how the mind works. It's cognized. It's the nature of the mind. It's cognized other things. Those things that the mind cognize, those things that are cognizable by the mind, they are come from all the faculty of senses. Your eyes, your ear, your nose, the tongue, the touch, and the mental phenomena, mental object. All these are the channel, the so-called, the faculty. Is the channel or the faculty that the things from the outside can come into your mind and your mind cognize it. And this is the nature. This is how it works. You probably can notice of your own mind. You know, it's moving this great from sometimes the nose. Suddenly you can smell something. And then it's fading away. It's moved on to the taste and your tongue and the touch or the things that you're thinking in your head. It's keep on going like that. You know, exactly just like a monkey when it's roaming around through a forest. Grab hold of the branch, let go of the other one, grab another, and move on and on. But the different, slightly different is when the monkey moves, it's linear. You know, it's linear. But when the mind moves, it's discrete. Because sometimes you think of Thailand, the next moment you think of the USA. and then you come back to the India, and then you think about your test in the past, future. It can move around everywhere. And also imagination. And these are the phenomena of the mind. And this is where the problem begins. Because if the mind cognizes on the good stuff, like wholesome things, that's no problem. The mind will be a wholesome mind. But if the mind cognizes on the unwholesome things, like bad thoughts, the mind will feel bad. And sometimes when the mind feels bad and behave wrongly, behave unwholesomely. That's why you can see people when they scold other people, they commit unwholesome physical action, they committed an unwholesome verbal action or mental action, because the mind has been tainted by the unwholesome impact that coming through all these faculty senses. And how do we manage this? How do we manage our own mind not to cognize on the unwholesome stuff? Because when it's jumped like a monkey, it will jump here and there, cognize this and that, past, future. Sometimes it's just like tossing a dice. You don't know what number is going to turn up. Number one, or number six, or number five. Sometimes it's red, sometimes it's black. That's why sometimes when your mind begins to cognize things of this and that, sometimes think bad thoughts. To be able to control the mind. When I say controlling the mind, it doesn't mean controlling other people's mind. It's controlling your own mind. You know, control your own mind not to cognize or not to be consumed by those unwholesome states, unwholesome thoughts, unwholesome actions. In this sense of control, it doesn't mean have to be tight or have to be tense, but have to be controlled. You know, the simile that you can understand is using two hands. You know, using two hands to hold a quill. You know, a quilt or a bird. When you grab hold of a bird using two hands, your own palm, two palms, if you grab it too tight, the quilt or the bird will die. If you grab it too loosely, the quilt or the bird will fly away. It was just gone. So if you don't really control your own mind, sometimes it will go to somewhere bad, unwholesome states. That's what I mean. But if you control it too tight and it's become too tense and become too much, become stressed, and there have to be a sense of control. In this case, we call it the awareness or recollection. And that's why the mind have to have a point of recollection, have to have a point of, where is that called, the mindfulness. The mindfulness is the key, very important key for the mind, not to be running away wildly, but running or thinking in a pattern in which that it doesn't cognize into the unwholesome. Or if it does cognize into unwholesome, it can come back quickly. And that's why you have to establish the mindfulness. Establishment of the mindfulness is not difficult. Establishment of mindfulness means you need to set one point or one place or one thing for the mind to come back here, to need to be recollect if once the mind went into the unwholesome state. So this point or this place for the mind to be mindful, for the mind to come back, is the home of the mind. Just like when you go to work or when you go to travel somewhere, go to overseas or go to up country, you know, maybe a few days or a few weeks, and then maybe you go to work in the morning, in the evening you come back. Just like that, you have to come back to your house. You have to come back to your home. The mind also, it needs to have a home for the mind so that it doesn't go and running away, sometimes hit the good things, sometimes hits bad things. This house of the mind, that's why you need to set, you need to build, to establish the place or the point where the mind can be recollect, where the mind can be mindful of. And this is called the establishment of mindfulness. You can use your own breath, inhales and exhales. Let's compare to the one who don't have this place, the one who never have mindfulness. Let's say you get these six animals. And when you get these six animals, tie them with a leash or a rope. When you tie them by a strong rope, and then at the end of the other end, you know, you tie them together. Those six animals may be like a snake. You get a snake, tied a snake with a strong rope. You get a bird, you get a dog, you get a jackal, monkey, and also a crocodile. You know, tied each of them with one rope. When you tie them with one rope, and then the other end of all those ropes, you tie them together in the middle, and then you let go. The moment you let go, all these six animals have their different feeding ground, and they come from different domains. So they will go back to their feeding grounds. They will go back to their own domain. Let's say the bird will just fly up into the air. The snake will just want to go to an anthill. The crocodile will go to in the water. The jackal will go to the graveyard. The dog will go to the house, the village. And the monkey will just go to the forest. So each of them have their own different feeding ground. They will just go. Whoever stronger will pull the rest into the direction they go. Let's come back to our own mind. Your mind, my mind are the same. Whichever stronger, whether the eyes, the ears, the nose, the touch, the tongues, or the mental objects, will just pull your mind cognized into that. So the rest will be fading away. You know, sometimes when you feel hot or feel cold, your mind will cognize there. Or sometimes when you concentrate on your work, the mind will cognize on the job, the work at hand, and maybe people called you, you don't hear about them. And that's because the mental objects pulling your mind cognize there. You know, in order to manage your own mind, as I say, give a little sense of control. To be able to control your own mind, you need, in this simile, you need to, instead of tie this rope together and let go, you tie each of the rope into the strong pillar. You know, you tie each of the rope into the strong pillar. What happens when you tie the rope with the strong pillar or a strong post? Those animals will pull. They will just keep pulling. They want to go back to their own feeding grounds. But the rope is strong and the pillar is strong, so it doesn't move. What happens is when all these animals, they fatigue, they get tired, they will just sit down there or lying down there and no strength to pull it anymore. And these are similar things that we need to do with our own mind to give a little sense of control. Meanings, you have to set the mindfulness, set and establish the mindfulness, the point of recollection, so that when the mind want to run away, just go a little wild, you know, maybe it's start thinking of the bad things, unwholesome thoughts, you need to have the place that it can come back, that the mind can come back. And the mind, when it comes back, you can make sure that this place are the good place. This place are the good things to be cognized. And that is called the establishment of the mindfulness. So what do we do? We can use many things. One of the things that myself, I use, that is the breath. I use my own breathing. Breathe in and breathe out. Use my breath, in breath and out breath, as the point for to set the mindfulness. When I use my own breathing, because I have to breathe all the time, you also have to breathe all the time. That's why the breathing meditation or set the mindfulness with the breathing is a quite effective way for you to use as a point of recollection, to make sure that your mind doesn't run into the unwholesome thoughts, unwholesome cognition. How do you do that? It requires certain practice. It's not difficult, because you have to breathe in and breathe out anyway. When the air is coming in and coming out in your nostril and out of your nostril, so that will be a sensation. There will be the air itself will touch all those tissue inside your own nostril. When it touches, you can feel. You can have a sense of sensation. Certain sensation will happen inside your nostril. Sometimes it's subtle, sometimes it's gross. Whatever sensation that happened in there, use that point as the point for the recollection, as the point for the mindfulness. When you think of other things, sometimes wholesome, sometimes unwholesome, or maybe you cognize of your own body, the thoughts, blah, blah, blah. And if you want to practice the establishment of the mindfulness, you can use your own breath, meaning this point, when you think or remind yourself, you know, to aware of your own breath inside your nostril, the touches of your breath inside your nostril. Let's say you're breathing in and breathing out right now. When the air coming through your nose in your nostril, flowing in, right? It will touch. It will create certain sensations. Sometimes it's very subtle. When it's subtle, probably you have to look a little more concentrate and look at the subtle sensation. Or probably you can take a deep breath a few times. Inhales and exhales a few times of the deep breath. When you do that, the sensation will become more gross, and you will notice them a little bit easier. When you do that, once you're aware of the spot, you just breathe normally. When you breathe normal, sometimes the sensation back to subtle. It doesn't matter, because you already know the spot where you can put your mind, where you will be aware. This is the point of establishment, point of recollection, the spot where you can be aware, the spot where you can set up the mindfulness in front of you. In this setting up and or establishment of the mindfulness, you can do it anytime. You can do it better in your house or while you're driving or at your work. And this point is a point of recollection. Instead of thinking of the bad things, sometimes people scold you or sometimes have a certain unwholesome thoughts happen, unhappy traffic jams, some people talk bad thoughts, get scolded by someone. Instead of let your mind running through or cognize of formation of those disagreeable contacts, instead of let your mind go through all those painful things or those disagreeable things, pull or so-called cognize or recall or recollect your mind, instead of let cognize on those same pattern, come back here at your house. The house of your mind, the house, the home, or the let your mind abides here. The establishment of the mindfulness on the spot where you can feel your breath touches your nose in the nostril, whether it's subtle or whether it's gross. When you inhale and when you exhale, there will be certain sensation there. Use that spot. Sometimes a spot not so gross, not easy to spot, you can take a deep breath in a few times. Then when you aware, be able to cognize the spot, use that. You know, sometimes this cognition, it doesn't come easy. Just like when you practice riding a bicycle. Some of you know how to ride a bicycle, some of you don't. But for those of you who know how to practice, you probably can recall how do you practice riding a bicycle. Sometimes you fall down. Before you gain the balance, before you gain the momentum and move on, you got to steer the hand, handle the hand, and to be able to move forward. Requires certain skills, certain practice. Same thing. When you try or do your best, set up the mindfulness in front of you, or establish the mindfulness. Use the spot. Sometimes the mind goes somewhere. The mind is cognized into other things. That's okay, because that's the job of the mind to cognize. But our job now is, if you can do it once, you know, be able to aware of your own breath, and then maybe it's running aware somewhere else, and then you can do it second times, and it's going aware somewhere else. The mind, just like a monkey, is hopping here and there, jumping here and there. You recall them, you know, recall them and come back here. So the moment the mind cognize and establish the mindfulness, that is called the mindfulness. That is called the awareness. When the mind aware of your own breath, inside the touches of your breath, inside your nostril, and that's called awareness, and that's called the mindfulness. When your mind are mindful of your own breath, at least that moment, your mind are in the wholesome state. Why does it wholesome? Because it's nothing unwholesome about your own breath, your own mind. There's nothing unwholesome. What are the unwholesome? Oh, unwholesome thing you can find everywhere. You know, you read papers, you watching the television, you can see and hear all those unwholesome things that people do. Talking a false speech, committing crime, stealing, taking intoxicant, having sexual misconduct, or maybe think of bad thoughts. But when your mind cognize on your own breath, aware of your own breath, aware of your own breathing, and that is no unwholesome component inside your mind. At least at that moment, your mind are in a good shape. Your mind are in a wholesome state. And the thing is, we need to, just like riding a bicycle, keep on going, keep on doing it and practicing it so that you gain a momentum and you can move on. Same thing when you aware of your own breath, inhales and exhales. Sometimes it's just a short while that you can do maybe a few breaths, or maybe more than that, and then it just go away sometimes, you know, and you keep practicing it, or set up again, establish again, establish and set up this awareness, establish and set up this mindfulness, and use the same spot. And when you aware, begin to gain the momentum and can move forward, your mind will become more concentrated. This concentration means the pulling away of those six animals will be less. You know, if you look at the pillar, when all those ropes was tightened it with to the strong pillar, if those animals still have strength, they will just keep pulling. But the rope is strong. The rope is not snapped. When the rope is not snapped, the strength pose will have a force being pulled away. Same things with your mind. When all those sensation, contacts, all the faculty of senses will pull your mind to cognize into those channels. That's okay, because they still have strength to pull your mind away. And if you gain more momentum, you gain more mindfulness, you gain more power, you gain more energy of your own mind, you gain more concentration, those faculties of senses will weakening, weaker and weaker. When they get fatigued, then your mind can be concentrated. Your mind will be concentrated on the spot where you can feel your breath touches your nose in your nostril. And that spot has become the establishment of the mindfulness. When the mindfulness, establishment of the mindfulness, you can set up continuously, you can set up regularly, as in when you need it. And that's where the mind can concentrate. The concentrated mind have a power, have the energy. This energy and power you can use in doing a lot of things, like learning, studying, working, communicating, meeting, or even sometimes driving. You know, certain people need concentration while they're driving. And this concentration can be more beneficial when you use it as the observation. Observe of what? Observe the things as they really are. Observe the things that are these contacts that come from the eyes, the ears, the nose, what they actually are, what they actually behave. When you look at those with your concentrated mind, what you can see is that you can see all those contacts that are coming from all these vikatis as the way they are, which is impermanent, because it comes and goes, comes fading away, stays sometimes, and then it just go away. And this fact happen with all the vikatis. When you aware of this, and this is also awareness, another awareness, aware that all these are the impermanent. When you observe and begin to see things that coming into touch with your contacts, all these vikati of senses, that was impermanent. And when you see this, the more and more you see this, the more often you observe your things that come into your life as it's impermanent, what will happen is that the mind will gain the revulsion, meaning the ability, the strength to be able to detach from all those contacts. The strength or the ability that your mind can be able to detach from the things that are coming into touch with your faculty of senses, that is the freedom you have. The freedom of choice that you can have, whether how would you react into those things that are coming into your life. Because if you don't have this freedom, whatever things happen, you behave according to whatever required to do that. Let's say people scold you, you have to scold them back. And you have no choice. And you have no strength, you have no freedom to behave. But if you are free from the context, people scold you, you can choose whether you can scold them back, you can stay put, or you can do nothing, you can ignore them. You have a choice. To be able to have a choice, let's recap, you need to have revulsion. You need to be able to free from all those contacts that will bind your mind. To be able to get free, be able to unbind those contacts that will tie you up, you need to see things as they really are. You need to see things as they really are to gain revulsion. To be able to see things as they really are, that means it's impermanent. To be able to see that, because sometimes you don't see that, you need to have a concentrated mind. To be able to have a concentrated mind, your mind have to be mindful. You might have to have the point of awareness. You might have to have a set of the establishment. Set the mindfulness in front of you. Establish the mindfulness. To be able to do that, the tools that we use is your own breath, inhales and exhales. So today, you learn about the monkey. You know, the monkey mind. The mind sometimes, just like a monkey, you need to have certain sense of controlling. Control your own mind. When you give a little bit of control, not too tight, not too loose, you can gain all these things called establishment of the mindfulness. And that will bring you the freedom of choice you can choose. Today the time is up. My name is Pra Paibun Apiputno from Forest Monastery, Wat Pa Don Hai So, Udon Thani. I'll meet you next time. Goodbye.